This podcast is brought to you by Aldis International, supplying your expert AI and digital transformation staffing needs across the U.S. and Europe. Today, you are listening to our AI in Action series, where leading minds in AI from across the world share their story, success, and advice. AI in Action cuts through the hype and explores the true impact of artificial intelligence in our world today.
Hello, welcome to the Aldis podcast. I'm your host, Mark Kelly, Chief Customer Officer at Aldis International. Today, as part of our Aldis podcast and our AI in Action series, I'm absolutely delighted to welcome Tianqi Feng, Director of Voice of Consumer Analytics at Adidas, to the podcast today. Tianqi, very welcome to the show today.
Thank you very much. Good to be here.
So, delighted to have you as a guest and really excited to hear about you and your work at Adidas. But talk us through your journey to now.
Absolutely. So I started very early on in my childhood to liking advertising and storytelling, but also in school, I was always good in math and working with data as well. So I studied a mix of marketing and IT at the Technical University in Berlin. And that ended up at that time to become the keyword, what is called analytics today. So I started working at an agency called TD in the Beijing office right after my studies and really gathered a lot of knowledge about how to apply analytics in a very dynamic environment. And I've been working in analytics ever since. So since 4 years now, I've been working at Adidas as a director of voice of consumer analytics, really looking across consumer feedback on different channels and how to analyze them for better consumer-centric decision-making.
So the work that you do day-to-day, talk us through some of that work. And for people that don't necessarily know much about analytics and the human elements, what's going on there?
Absolutely. I think when it comes to voice of consumer analytics, as the name says, we really look into consumer feedback across different channels. That means social media, that means Google searches, that means product reviews on our website for e-commerce. That also means surveys that we do. For us, consumer feedback really is a glimpse into the mindsets of consumers. And that really goes back to humanity, right? So in a certain way, we look into feedback and we do all that advanced analysis like text mining and natural language processing. But what it comes up with is really a reflection of consumer mindsets and what really drives purchase motivation. And that is for us, in a bigger sense, not only relevant, of course, to sell a product in a better way, but also to find better ways of telling stories and telling basically the right things to our consumers in the right moment. And that has become even more important now in a pandemic. So the whole pandemic has accelerated really sensitivities and vulnerabilities of the consumers. And when we just think about societal issues like racism, but we also think about climate change, all these topics are really top of mind now. And we are trying really to do our best to listen to our consumers in that way and then also act accordingly.
So one of the ways that you do that is try to challenging stereotypes. And you did a very interesting rap anthem. Tell us how this actually came about.
Absolutely. So the rap anthem came from a place of how analytics is being treated in bigger organizations. So at that point in time, when I was writing it, that was end of 2019, we went through a phase of reflecting on ourselves analytics within the company and how we realized there are certain stereotypes around analysts just to be asked for data and for dashboards all the time and not asking actually us for our expertise or asking us for guidance and how to understand trends and the business and how to make better decisions. So I basically turned my frustrations and anger into music. I wrote that rap anthem called the Digital Analytics Anthem. And the idea really was to use a humorous way to describe that what we do is more than only data and tables and dashboards. We're actually experts. We can be great sidekicks when it comes to business superheroes. And we can really make everything better if we use more data-driven decision-making through the expertise of analysts.
So your role within working with Adidas, so you're the Director of Voice of Consumer Analytics. Tell us what that means and what's happening in your role.
Exactly. As I briefly mentioned before, we in my team, we really look across different consumer feedback channels. And that always consists of full text analysis and open text feedbacks that we get. So that could be either social media posts, that could be product reviews and the real descriptions of it. It could be how people phrase Google searches or they answer certain survey questions. And the idea is that we can apply the insights that we analyze from consumer feedback to make decisions in the short term, midterm, and long term. So in the short term, that would rather mean, for example, looking at how we describe our products on our website when we think about e-commerce to have the right expectations towards consumers. It could also mean that in the midterm, we really want to plan our range, what kind of products we want to sell, and what color race, for example, we want to tackle more on, because those seems to be more trendy than not. But also goes into, for example, activations and campaigns. So we really think about how to tell better stories and how to position our products in the right story and towards the right audience. And when we think about long-term, that really goes into strategic thinking. So we can look across now for multiple years in trends. So for example, looking into running, that really experienced like a peak in activations and peak in activities during the pandemic, because that was one of the only sports you were still able to do in a safe way, since people could not go to the gym anymore or could not do any team sports anymore. And looking at this, for example, would then mean, how do we strategically position running as a sport? And how do we basically use consumer insights from consumer feedback to really position running in the right way as an opportunity to basically position our running shoes, for example? So this is basically how, in our mindset, we're trying to apply consumer feedback analysis in the short term, midterm, and long term.
I can really relate to running because it's something I got into over during COVID as well. And it's something that I can imagine an awful lot of people have actually got into too. So it's fantastic to see how you've been able to take into consideration the feedback and then look to bring future innovative type products. And being a thought leader in marketing, creating products, positioning of products and advertising, and really trying to be craft that storytelling in a better way. Tell us, how does your role shape within the organization?
Absolutely. I think one of the things about consumer insights is that everybody who works in the industry feels like they know a lot about the consumers. And I'm not even doubting that. I think, though, that in today's world, that consumer mindsets and consumer behavior changes very quickly. And again, the pandemic was a big example for that. And basically, what we're trying to do is we have a lot of subjective views on what the consumer likes or dislikes. But the only real objective view to look at it, of course, would be actual data around the consumers. And we as a consumer feedback analysis team, Voice of the Consumer Analytics, really represent the consumer in a certain way, because we don't only look at how they behave, because that again could lead to some different interpretation of why they do it. We actually learn why they do it, and we can understand the motivations behind it. And that usually is really very limitedly debatable, because once you actually see certain consumer verbatims on what they talk about and how they talk about things, then there's really no debate around if that's true or not, because it's an actual consumer feedback. So in a certain way, we try to be as consumer-centric as possible, as any other company would try to be. But in our team, really the core is that we can represent the consumer in the best way possible and really guide conversations and decisions to what's being more consumer-centric.
You are listening to the Aldis Podcast. When you're looking to scale your team, or if you are interested in showcasing your company in a future episode, reach out today. Or if you're in the market for a new role, visit our website to view open positions, www.aldis.com.
How do you avoid falling into the wouldn't it be cool snare and working on the right type of projects? Because the vast majority of projects don't make it into production. Now, depending on who you speak to, that could be between 80 to 90% that aren't, for a variety of different reasons, they're not productionized. So how do you make sure that you're actually very careful that you're working on projects that are worth the time of you and your people?
Yeah, that's a great question. I would say in a nutshell, of course, we would follow the strategic priorities that is given by our business strategy. So they would, of course, define of what actually the key areas are that we want to pursue in the next 5 years. But when it comes to more the operational part of how to do it, we would have kind of a framework about what products to take based on the learn, build, and scale principles, so to say. And we realized that if we are honest about ourselves, in certain areas of analytics, we are not as mature as in others. So we do know that we need to learn and build first, while in other areas where we are already very mature, of course, we are scaled up to other use cases. But really balancing basically learn and build stuff, but obviously is foundational and will take a bit more time until it actually creates value. With the scaling that actually already creates a lot of value, we just want to increase it even more, is really key, because once we focus only on one or the other, we get into trouble of either being too short-term or too long-term without creating any value. So in a certain way, we use that framework and then we look at the priorities and we try to just balance it out and also discuss with our stakeholders how to do it best. One other thing that we realized is that even after so many different cool projects that we could do, a lot of the projects seem to be similar to others. So even if we cannot support a certain new project that is coming in, we can at least show another similar project we did in the past, what we would then call the next best insight, so to say, and really at least don't give the full answer to the question that we're being asked for, but at least give it partly. And that, of course, makes stakeholders already happy and already influences decisions in a better way. So really, it's balancing our own mix of foundational things and delivering things versus business strategy, and try to do the best way we can.
And one of those is sustainability. And some of the interesting feedback you had, we care about vegan shoes. Tell us a little bit about that.
Absolutely. As some of the listeners might know, is that we launched a few of the vegan shoes last year. But the research and the insights actually started much earlier. So we already looked even before last year, for example, since 3 or 4 years ago now, into the demand regarding vegan shoes, how it was discussed on social media or how it was searched for on Google, and realized that vegan footwear and apparel generally became a bigger trend among consumers when it came to the overall topic of sustainability. And now sustainability has been along for quite a while. I think now also not lastly because of Fridays for the Future, for example, and these kind of organizations, they raised a lot of awareness to it. But consumers really want to know how they can take actions to be more sustainable and to make the world a better place. And while not always losing the luxury, of course, to buy new clothes or footwear, for example. And creating either recyclable or vegan shoes has been, of course, the one direction we needed to go into to, first of all, be better to the planet, of course, but also to meet the consumer needs that really was looking for it. So in a certain way, we looked into this and we also then tackled the whole project and the insights of how vegan consumers generally think and what their motivations are, for example, balancing showing off their veganism while actually being more healthy about their own bodies, but also more about being better to the planet and what the kind of motivations play there a role. So this went all into this, and luckily it went into a really good product in the end that we were able to, was able to be relatable and resonant to the consumers.
And when you look at measuring return on investment from marketing analytics, creating footwear for footballers, showing the allocation of the work that you do and the impact, it can be sometimes pretty challenging to generate this ROI. How do you go about, you know, driving that success and staying on top of this?
Yeah, absolutely. I think the more long-term our decisions that we influence with analytics and our insights, the more difficult it gets. A classic example would be, for example, that we would inform a strategic decision now, but we would only see the products that come out of it and the shoes, for example, only in, let's say, 18 months. And at that point in time, there were so many other variables that already influenced the final outcome that it's hard to attribute the part of the value only to us. So I think the key really is that there has to be a certain agreement within the company and within the people that you work with that it is valuable. And even if you don't always are able to put a euro value or like any kind of monetary value on it, together that you made the decision better than it was would have been if you hadn't gotten the insights from analytics, so to say. But the more also you move towards more short-term decisions, for example, the example I mentioned before on product description pages to change the wording and change descriptions around our products. And that also then actually has an impact directly on return rate. So the better we have made it clear the expectations towards the product that people will buy, the less they are likely to return it, because then it's more meeting the expectations they had. So in a certain way, we balance the short term and the midterm with actual monetary value to agreements and just influencing the right people in the right context to see the value in the work that we do.
And people may underestimate, but the return rates can really impact the gross margins. And particularly over COVID, there was so much things bought through e-commerce, but there were so many returns. sent back as well. And people can actually forget that. But having a lot of detailed information and allowing that user to have better experience with that purchase does reduce it down. So it's time well spent. So talk to us a little bit about future projects and how do you see the sports and fashion industry evolving over the next couple of years?
Yeah, that's a great point. I would say we as Adidas are, of course, tackling the sports and fashion industry in a certain way. So I think the general trend that goes across everything is, of course, the whole post-pandemic mindset, so to say, and everything that comes with it. That is relating to health, that relates to sustainability, that relates to societal sensitivities, as I mentioned before. In a lot of ways, we all have to be more careful now, not only my company, but all other companies. I'm sure that everybody has seen all the PR crises that have now happened over the last year or so now. So really navigating through an environment where a lot of the things that we had looked at as normal now is under scrutiny because of sensitivities is key. And the more you actually do advertisement and marketing, the more careful you have to be. Because also we know that marketing is supposed to be memorable, and that means sometimes it's provocative. But where's basically the border between being provocative and directly offensive? So that is something that I think generally everybody has to keep in mind. When we think about sports and fashion, sports alone, how team sports is evolving, and we right now, as we recorded, are in the middle of the Olympics, we see how the landscape of sports is changing. A lot of the things, seeing a stadium or seeing like a sports environment without any audience is really weird, I would say. And the feeling towards sports is also different. Again, team sports as well, at least the Euro League went really well in Europe here when it came to football, so far at least. But it's not always the case. So where are the sensitivities now? Are team sports continue to bloom as they did before? Are people now moving more to individual sports like running, as you have been starting, Mark? So things like this are things that we have to think about. But same as for fashion. So once people now actually are used to, let's say, more of a hybrid workplace and people spend more time actually in home office and they're used to now staying at home, that means that people are more likely to use comfortable clothes at home and want to purchase that more instead of clothes that are not as comfortable but look nice. So just outside, for example. So that goes into loungewear or look into, for example, just sportswear that is more loose, for example. So in a certain way, there's a lot of things there. Plus, consumers are looking into more different business models that supports their sustainability interests. So, for example, looking into circular services. So being able to return your clothes and then basically knowing that it's being recycled into new clothes and thereby not always just creating more and more clothes and thereby hurting the planet is also important. So in conclusion, there's a lot of things that basically where future looking insights are needed, especially now that we had like a huge disruptive change up, so to say, due to the pandemic. So we're really excited to work on these consumer insights to know more about where the consumer mindset is evolving to.
You've been listening to the All This podcast as part of our AI in Action series. I've been speaking to Tianqi Feng, Director of Voice of Consumer Analytics at Adidas. And Tianqi has been telling us about his journey from Berlin to Beijing, and work that he does as Adidas, picking the projects that have the highest impact, sustainability, and some of the future projects in the sports and fashion industry. Tianqi, thank you very much for your time today.
Thank you very much. Good to be here.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the All This podcast. If you enjoyed today's episode, don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review. We are available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and any Android podcast of choice. You can also head over to our website, www.allthis.com, to listen to more podcasts, view our open roles, and stay up to date with industry news. Thanks for listening, and stay tuned for more great episodes coming very soon.